Stewardship Committee, as you have heard, has identified Vision 2020, a plan, a future, a hope as its theme. Vision 2020 is creative and clever. It has a double meaning. Some of us are just realizing the cleverness of that double meaning, the 2020 vision. Some of us have many wishes we had or have with some assistance. But in fact, the next year is the year 2020. And that in 20 years, for example, a stewardship theme of 2040 vision would not be nearly as compelling. So it's 2020 and 2020. I was thinking about my doctor, who fitted me with my first pair of glasses. What a fascinating field he took up. The eyes are the windows to the soul here. How complex and beautiful an eye can be on the surface and within. And yet how troublesome when it's not working as it might. How we take vision for granted until we don't. Vision itself, like 2020, has two meanings. Vision we have using our eyes in a deeper sense of vision, something we kind of see in our imagination. And I want to focus with the imagery of the first on this very multitasking Sunday. The last Sunday of the liturgical year, after just around the corner, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, a holiday with great theological meaning, the stewardship Sunday. We focus on the sharing of our financial gifts. And more deeply, as we have shared with our young people, all of the gifts that God gives us and how we offer them in our lives and to support the mission and the ministry of this congregation. So thank you in advance, as Lori has said, for your pledges. You've heard the drill. I'm going to say it again later in the service. Prior to us singing that one more great Thanksgiving hymn, you're invited to come forward and offer your stewardship response. If you're not ready to do so today, you can do it at a subsequent Sunday. Send your pledge card to the church office. There are pledge cards in the pews. And in following worship, we will enjoy a bagel breakfast this coming around. There'll be Advent activities for our young people, but really for all of us as we prepare for the Advent season. You've heard over these past few weeks in very eloquent ways what all of this supports. Our gifted and committed staff, this building and buildings around it that support so much activity for church and community, worship, music, and arts, education for all ages, a robust social witness and outreach ministry. You've heard about that vision, you have seen it in action, and in fact, you are part of it. You are it in this community. Do you know what a vision board is? Google it if you don't. You'll be kind of overwhelmed by telling you. Vision boards are something of a thing. They take on different forms, some of them very fancy, some of them quite simple. Every January 1st, our family does a version of a vision board. We don't do resolutions, but we write out and share with each other how we want to see the next year unfold. It's a kind of a strategic plan, a vision board is. And your pledge is a contribution to our collective communal vision board. Where do we see the life of this church going? How do we see it unfolding? But in order to have a vision board, we must have a vision. And we do. Look at all these beautiful Thanksgiving cornucopias all around us. It is an lectionary has taken us through various books of the prophets in the Old Testament who have thought about exile. The exile of the Israelite people from the land and into Babylon. Prophets have had a variety of messages and interpretations of that excellent reality. Some blame the people, some offer them encouragement, some share a word of hope about the future. But every prophetic message indicates that the people will return to the land, will return to their God in a full and complete relationship. And the prophet Jeremiah makes up the middle of all of that. In the words we just heard, there is a bit of a blame thing going on, and also comfort. Promise about the future, yet a reminder that people need to wait for 70 years until they can return back home. All of it punctuated with a deep sense of hope. Hope is God's promise. So hear these words again. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says God. Plans for your welfare, not for harm. Give you a future, and a future with hope. So God has a plan for us, a vision for the people. But it's not detached. It's not God's activity alone. Our role is connected with our theme as well. Listen to this. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me. That imagery again, searching and seeking, and ultimately finding. John Calvin, the 16th century theologian, very much of what we now know as Presbyterianism, wrote frequently on the theme of vision. Calvin was a teacher, a Bible interpreter. If you call him a theologian, he would reject that title. Calvin said that the Bible provides light for us so that we might know God and live our lives more fully and faithfully. And without the Bible, Calvin said, we would be lost. And get this, Calvin often compared the Bible to spectacles, he called them, eyeglasses. We are bleary-eyed. Our vision is weak. But once we put on the Bible, Scripture provides a clarifying instrument, writes Matthew Meyer Goldman, to lend the spectacles that show us the true God. Through the lens of Scripture, we see creation more accurately. We see God's grace more clearly. We see signs of God's presence all around us. I can see clearly now. The pain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. You know that song? So what would spectacles do for us? What corrective lenses do we need? What needs clarifying? What needs magnifying? What needs broad and focus? Every couple of years, I sit in the optometrist's chair, maybe you do as well, and I put this big machine in front of my eyes and start flipping little dials. One or two or three, three or four. Sometimes I can't even tell the difference between two and three and four, and I pick up an answer just to keep the examination moving along with other times. The lens will be flipped into place. It makes all the difference in the world. What are your obstacles? What are my obstacles? What are our obstacles together? Are there behaviors or habits that block the clarity you seek to make your own vision board a reality? What about the vision board for this place? As I said, we have the elements identified worship life, teaching and nurturing all ages, reaching out beyond our walls to lend a hand and amplify a voice. So what's next? What needs fine-tuning? What needs more serious attention? What new things are emerging? And how can we envision those things together? To invest in this place, support those conversations. Have you heard of presbyopia? Some of you might even suffer from it. Presbyopia is farsightedness caused by loss of elasticity of the lens of the eye. And it occurs typically in middle age and beyond. And yes, the word presbyopia is related to Presbyterian. Old eyes and elders all come from the same Greek root. And just as some of us can suffer from presbyopia, so can an institution, even in the church, loss of elasticity. What Martin Marty calls the seven last words of the church, we've always liked that way before. And we need those older eyes, don't we? That better eyesight. We need all kinds of eyes, all kinds of sight. We need open eyes. John Lennon, who would have, I hope, appreciated these little round spectacles this morning, sang a great song, "Living is Easy with Eyes Closed." Misunderstanding all we see. So we need first eyes wide open to see. To see what is going on, whether in this place or in the life of the world, a broken and fearful world, hungry for the good news that we know, yearning for the clarifying vision that the gospel can provide. Open your eyes and see. But we also need eyes closed every so often, eyes closed for Sabbath rest, eyes closed to give us the space to dream and envision. And we do need old eyes, not any elastic ones, but veteran ones. We know a thing or two because they've seen a thing or two. And we can share wisdom and experience with all of us. But we need new eyes, including perhaps my new eyes. Eyes that can see things in fresh ways, that can articulate things, even just a bit differently. We need clear eyes. Eyes that won't back down from seeing what is true and speaking up and speaking out. We need bright eyes that can focus through the fog and the glare, and that can, with hope, see things as they might be. We need eyes that will cry with compassion, that will mind being a little bit puffy and red as they remind us of the suffering around us, and how to respond. We need eyes that crinkle at the corners with joy, that remind us that we need to play and laugh and enjoy one another and enjoy God's beautiful world. None of us, in that sense, have perfect vision. If we gather all of our visionary capacity in the community and rely on the Holy Spirit's illumination, we will catch glimpses. Glimpses of what God sees in us. Glimpses of what God sees for the world. Glimpses of the future into which God is calling us. Mr. Rogers, who was red, green, and colorblind, by the way, so he never knew what color sweater he was putting on at the beginning of each episode. Mr. Rogers said that at the center of the universe is a loving heart unceasingly.